How's everyone doing today?
Good.
I know, we're all doing great. We got an extra hour of sleep. It's perfect. Some of us, no, maybe not. I don't know if you guys think about this a lot, but I know the high schoolers probably do a lot. Sitting here on a Sunday morning wondering, why am I here? What are we doing? What is all of this about? Why did they let Stephen up there speak? Every now and then you have to ask yourself why you're doing stuff. Why you engage in something one way or another. You know, we come here. Many of you have been coming every Sunday way before I have. Decades been coming here worshiping the Lord in this building with this congregation. There is something about, and the scripture speaks to this, there's something about coming as a body before the Lord together, seeking His presence together. I like to remind myself on a Sunday morning that this isn't just a routine that I like to get into because it feels good and it sets my week correct. I do it because there's purpose behind it. There is something deeper, even if we can't put words to it, even if we don't quite understand it, there's something deeper, and I don't want to sit here just because I came. I don't want to sit here just because it's my routine. So if there is reason to this Sunday morning, then let's push in. I don't want to waste your time. Hope you don't want to waste mine. None of us like wasting our time, me especially. Some of my students know that. I don't get upset very easily unless you start wasting my time. Then I get super upset. Anyways, let's get into this. Now that I have your attention. Yeah. Where was that going? That was going nowhere. Nowhere fast. So we're going to stop it right there. Okay. So the theme of our, I don't know if you would call it a theme, the last few months we've been talking about this idea of more. More. Now all of you guys are like, yeah, we get it. More. More this, more that, more all of this. We understand that more is found in God through His Son. Nothing else satisfies, fills, nothing comes close. More is found in Jesus. If you think of it as the equation, Jesus equals more. If you want more, you have to have Jesus. But it doesn't work the other way around. This isn't like a normal equation. It doesn't work if you reverse it. More does not equal Jesus. We find ourselves all of these different routes trying to get Jesus and more, when what we really need is Jesus to get more. And this to us seems, you think about it, you're like, yeah, it's so obvious. But in practice, it's a little more difficult. It's a little more fuzzy. So how do we get more? Because even as believers, we know we serve an infinite God. We know there's more out there. There has to be. This can't be it. I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago, I guess it was in the middle of summer, so a few months ago, I was up here speaking. And in the middle of speaking, presenting the word to you guys, the Lord speaking to me, you guys, all of a sudden I got extremely bored. Bored. And that's my word of using. I know, it's weird, bored. What are you talking about, bored? And I shared with Eric this, I shared with Riley this, and my wife, and I shared with Leslie and a few others. I got bored, and so I started asking the Lord, why is this the word that's popping into my head? And all that I could think about is, if you serve an infinite God, shouldn't you continually be discovering new, exciting things? Shouldn't there be this refreshing, renewed joy and like first love experience with the Lord? How could I be bored with the Lord? Hey, bored with the Lord. Doesn't work. It rhymes, but it doesn't go together, okay? And what the Lord is trying to point out to me there is, and I've tried to ingrain this into how I'm thinking about Scripture and my time with the Lord, is that if there's an issue, it's on my end. If there's an issue, it's on my end. If I am bored, if I'm not getting it, if I am just not feeling that refreshed sense of joy and peace that should be in my life that the Lord promises us, it's on my end. And too often we sit here and we think and we say, Lord, I'm bored. Like, what's going on? What is going on up there that I am bored? Like, this isn't exciting anymore. This isn't fun anymore. He's still the same God. He's still doing everything he was doing. It's just, now we have twisted the truth just a little bit. And this is what I want to get into, is that there is something that we do. There is a mandate on us, on our side of the relationship. The Lord has his duties, responsibilities to us that he's committed to us. There's also things that we should be doing as well, that we should be engaging in. We don't get to just sit back and relax and expect it all to be fine. If we want the newness, then we engage with the Lord. If we want the things he promises, then we do the things he says to do. That sense of boredness was really weird. I don't think it affected how the Lord was speaking to you guys. It must have been in the moment that he was speaking to you guys, he was speaking to me too. It was a really odd and strange experience for me. So let's talk about this idea that, man, what if I want more, what should I be doing? Is there something that I should be doing on my end? We often talk about the promises of the Lord. We talk about who our God is, but is there something on my end that I should be doing that he's calling me to do, something that's incorrect on my side, my way of thinking? I spoke to you last month, and we spoke on this idea of an abundance mindset, a scarcity mindset. And Jesus, when he's speaking to us in Scripture, he's speaking from an abundance mindset. Oftentimes, we're coming from a scarcity mindset, and so we have trouble connecting the dots of what he's saying, understanding the logic between what he's saying. And just to catch us all up, an abundance mindset is a mindset that says there is enough because your God is generous, who provides for you. There's enough because God. There's enough because God. That's it. A scarcity mindset says something like this: there is never enough, and if there is enough right now, there may not be in the future. And we see how those two mindsets, if you hold them, they begin to dictate how you live your life. Like, if I'm always coming from the stance that, just for example, there's never enough, and if I do have enough right now, there's not going to be enough in the future, then what it actually does is it prevents me from maybe this radical obedience that the Lord's asked me to do, to be generous at times. It's just one example of whether it's giving my time or my resources. If I say, no, I don't have enough. If we're in this scarcity mindset, we hold back even what the Lord has given us. Abundance mindset says, no, there's always enough. My God is a generous provider. See, one frees us to receiving more, and the other enslaves you to seeking more but never obtaining. One frees you to receiving more. So the abundance mindset frees you to receive more. A scarcity mindset enslaves you to seeking more but never obtaining. One hinges on how much work you put in so as to receive equal or less return. The other hinges on a loving, faithful provider God. And Jesus is coming from this abundance mindset. We know that the two clash. If you're standing in a scarcity mindset zone, you look at abundance mindset and says, that's dumb, that's foolish. That's stupid. Like, are you in La La Land? Of course I got to work for what I have. And abundance mindset zone says, no, don't you know who our God is? You don't have to be like working and toiling so much just for nothing. Our God is great. He provides for you. That doesn't have to be my primary focus. I'm not enslaved to this endless toil. Understanding Jesus' mindset is crucial to understanding his words, because he's not calling us to just act a certain way. Scripture isn't about acting. Being a Christ follower isn't about acting. It's not a fake it till you make it type thing. What he's actually calling us to is a new way of thinking, one that puts trust, faith, and reliance on God, hinges on him alone. So we're being called to a new way of thinking, not just faking it till you make it, but a new way of thinking, one that puts trust, faith, and reliance on God and hinges on him. This is so important because Jesus calls out his followers who don't hold this mindset, and we're going to read the passages in just a second. In Matthew 6:30, he calls you out. He says, if you don't have this mindset amongst you, if this isn't something that you're holding to, if you're not living with an abundance mindset, he comes right out and says, oh, you of little faith. He's not just giving you a recommendation on how to live life. He's telling you this is the reality of how things are. And you should have this mindset amongst yourselves. As a follower of Christ, you're walking in faith by living with an abundance mindset. So I have this question for you guys. What are your goals? Picture them in your mind, your goals. What are you focused on? What is it that you are chasing after? All of us have different life goals. I mean, they can all be boiled down to just a few things, you know. We want security. We want joy. Yeah. What's that?
Vacations.
We want to be able. We want rest. Yeah, we want rest. Rest. Huh? What? Vacations. Rest. Yeah. Yeah. Don't want to die. We want to live successful lives. What are your goals? All these, we probably all have the same goals in this room. They may look a little different, but if I boil them down to their roots, they're probably about all the same. The real question, and Jesus asked this too, is what are the order of those goals? What's the order? Because order matters. We ask Amelia all the time. She's exploring. She's having fun. She's getting a new stuff. We see her doing something weird. Like, what's your goal? What are you trying to do? Because I do not see what you're trying to do here. I don't understand. It's like you're trying to get under the couch. You don't fit. So what's the goals? Or sometimes she's just trying to get on the couch and she's taking a weird route. It's like, well, I get the goal. Maybe we do it this way instead. What are your goals? What are you trying to get at? Jesus understands we all have goals. We have things we're focused on. We have things we want for our lives. Let's read this passage. We read it a month ago, so we're going to read it again. Matthew 6:25 through 34. It's a longer one, so just bear with me. We like to read big passages of Scripture at the Salt Mine. Yep, praise God. Okay, let's read this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is your life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. We discussed the main portion of this last time, so I'm not going to get into the bulk of this. We discussed kind of my general thoughts on it, like the ridiculousness of like, look at the birds. What am I supposed to learn from the stinking birds? But I read the whole passage because we're piggybacking off of that message. Jesus here, he's speaking from, even though this sounds kind of ridiculous to us, it sounds ridiculous because he's coming from an abundance mindset, calling his people into that mindset, calling his people into freedom. It sounds ridiculous if we're holding a scarcity mindset. We're saying, are we even living in the same world here? This is Earth. Like, I understand that you have this great understanding of what heaven's like, but this is Earth. He's saying, no. Have this mindset amongst yourselves. What we're really getting into is verses 32 and 33. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek God's kingdom. Seek his rule. Seek his righteousness. Not at some point during the day. Not when you get to it. First. Order matters. Order matters. You see, the reason why we spent a week talking about abundance versus scarcity mindset is because an abundance mindset is kind of a prerequisite to doing this. You have to hold an abundant mindset to actually seek the kingdom of God first. Because you have to be coming from a place of full reliance and trust in a God who provides for you. You can't do it without an abundance mindset. Abundance mindset says, my God has it taken care of. He's going to provide for me. Scarcity mindset says, well, he did provide for me at this point, but we haven't signed no contract or anything, so there's no, and rent's tomorrow. I don't know if this whole seeking him first thing is going to work. What about second? Second place is good. You still get a medal, and it's shiny. Silver's worth a lot. No, seek it first. It's not that these things aren't going to be on your mind. Jesus understands, like, yeah, we do need clothes. Your Father knows this. We do need to eat and drink. Your Father knows this. It's going to be on your mind, but they shouldn't be first, nor give you anxiety. See, Jesus knows how good we are at coming up with excuses. He knows this. And in fact, it's because throughout Scripture, men of God again and again and again give him excuses for why they can't do the things that he's calling them to do. He knows that, well, I know, Lord, that, you know, you say 10%, but is 7 okay? Seven's still a lot. 7% tithe, that's a lot. He knows we'll come up with excuses. Well, you know, I just couldn't get to it right now. Or someone else is going to feed that guy and take care of his needs. Or I'm just really busy right now. It's not that these things aren't going to be on your mind. The priorities you have, the goals, the focuses, the things you're chasing after, just his kingdom is to be first on our mind. Instead of worrying, instead of focusing first on your needs, first seek the kingdom of God. This is the new way of living, the new way of thinking amongst believers. Colossians says this in chapter 3. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, who's been raised with Christ? I. Whoa, what? Who has been raised with Christ? I. Amen. Me. Seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. See, it's the way of followers of Jesus to focus on higher things, to focus on God's kingdom. So as a follower of Christ, it should be safe to assume that my first priority is his kingdom. That I am set on things that are above. That is the priority on my mind. What's first on our list isn't what's going to be first on everyone else's list. He says this back in that Matthew verse. Don't the Gentiles seek after all these things too? What differentiates us, what separates us from the rest of the world is that what's first on our list is the kingdom of God. It's not second. It's not somewhere when we get to it. It's not just a passing thought. It is first. It is foremost. To those who are raised with Christ, or those who are still, those who are not raised with Christ, or those still bound to a scarcity mindset, this new order of things seems off and foolish. It doesn't compute. It's like, well, I can get to it when I get to it, right? Or, well, I need to eat, so why wouldn't I go seek after provision for my family first? Then I can do this church thing. Then I can do this God thing. No, seek first the kingdom of God. He's going to give a good argument for it here in a minute. See, a scarcity mindset doesn't have the time to focus on God's kingdom because it's focused on preserving its own. Which, there is the reality to the fact that God wants to preserve you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you, ensuring that you can give glory to God the fullest in whatever way he's set before you. But I don't have to worry about building up my kingdom. I can focus on building up his kingdom, and he's going to take care of me fine. And wouldn't I want all of my things in his hands anyways? We're going to read this passage from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 22, 17 through 19. I love this. I've wanted to in the past speak messages on this, but it's never really... Everything else has taken a little precedent over it. These other messages, which is fine. Let's read this and then I'll give a little explanation of what's going on. Oh my gosh, what did I do? Hold on, guys. So David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon and his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. Now, set your mind in your heart and seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Set the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and the holy vessels of God may be brought into the house built for the name of the Lord. So what's going on here? First, a little context. David, great king of Israel, most famous, if I say King David, most everyone knows David. Even people who aren't fluent in Scripture, and they may even know of David and Goliath. They may know the story, recognize it. What's going on here is David's toward the end of his life, and he's looking to build the temple of God. He sees that he has his own house. He has a place to live, but the temple of God is off somewhere. No house for the Ark of the Covenant. No house for the presence of God. So he wants to build this temple, and God says, we're going to build a temple, but you're not going to do it. You've shed too much blood. But instead, your son is going to do it. Okay, son's going to do it. So what does David do? He doesn't say, okay, well, I guess I get to kick back and relax a little bit. I guess next king's going to do it. That's fine. Lord's going to direct him just as he directed me. No, what David did, and I love this story so much. He goes as far as far as he can without actually building the temple, to prepare his son for success, to set up the next generation for success. He gets all of the materials together. He gets all of the wealth needed to purchase everything. He even goes to commanding the kingdom to say, hey, everyone here, you're going to help with building this temple. So the next king doesn't even have to make the command. David's done everything he can for him. I can really relate to this because I believe here at the Salt Mine, this is what's been done for me and what's being done for the next generation. As I'm walking across bridges that were built decades before, I'm climbing ladders that were placed there before me. I'm engaging in relationships with people, and that relationship was built by the last generation. I'm standing on someone else's shoulders. I'm building on a foundation that's already been placed. David goes as far as he can to build this temple. And he sets up the next generation for success. One of the things in order to do that is he commanded the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, build the temple. His argument for them building the temple, he says, you guys are going to go help build the temple. And his argument for it is, the Lord has taken care of you and will continue to take care of you. You can focus on building his kingdom. You can focus, seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind. He's still God. He's still going to take care of you. He's still there for you. Now set your mind and your heart and seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. We have a new order of priorities as followers of Christ. It doesn't mean that the old goals go away. Maybe some of them do. Some of them fade into the background or whatever. But we just have a new order. Seek first the kingdom of God. Focus on God's purposes and bringing glory to Him. And by doing all these things, and by doing so, all things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Your food, your clothes, your time will all be taken care of. It's this kind of killing two birds with one stone effect. Jesus equals more. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his kingdom. More does not equal Jesus. So the order of this actually does matter. Because I can seek the kingdom of God and he's going to provide all of these other things. He's going to concern himself with my life. And he's going to see that I have all things needed to glorify him. Focus on God's kingdom and God will provide. Or you can focus on your needs. Weigh yourself with anxiety and bring no glory to God in the process. Seeking after more will not get you to the kingdom. But seeking after Jesus, that's where the more is. God will provide all you need in order that you may glorify his name. Paul says this in Philippians 4. He says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secrets of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We're very familiar with that last verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What Paul's saying is, I have not concerned myself with my needs as God has concerned himself with my needs. So in all circumstances, I know how to thrive because it is Christ who gives me strength. It's like he's unlocked a secret to abundant living. He's saying, I live with abundance. When I don't have abundance, I live with abundance all the time because God has concerned himself with my needs through seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. All of my needs have been met. All you need in order to bring glory to his name through whatever method the Lord has provided you, through whatever method the Lord has put before you to bring glory to his name, the Lord will provide for you. We're going to talk about this. What does this all things mean? Because I have a lot of things. We all have a lot of things, right? We live in America. Americans generally have a lot of things. Yeah. We have so much that it's sometimes hard to give it to people because they have a lot sometimes. We have so much. Some people have garages, second houses. Garages on those second houses, full. I was talking to a customer this week. He said, yeah, we bought another property. And I was like, oh, your second one? He's like, no, my fifth. Fifth? What are your fifth? He's like, yeah. And we have barns on each of them. They're all full. All of them full? He's like, yeah, they stretch up and down. They stretch from the coast to the Sierras. I was like, so we just stop along the way and we have everything we need. Like, oh my, that's so much stuff. I think we have a lot of stuff because we have warehouses. This guy probably has more stuff than we have. We're a store. So what does this all things mean? Monty. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but this is where it gets a little dicey, is that Christians are still persecuted and have been persecuted throughout history. So I have all things, but Christians have been martyred throughout history. I have all things, but Christians have died of hunger. I have access to all things, but wait, this is starting to make less sense now. So, what does this all things mean now? Well, I can have Jesus. That's where all the good is, and I don't have to have anything else. So this is. Well, good is Jesus. Everything else isn't. Yeah, those are false arguments. They don't. They're in two different equations. They don't mesh. One's I forget what you call it. Blake just left the room. But there's a word for that type. There's a word for that type of argument. Yes. Okay. Yeah. We have all things, eternal life. But he did say that he knows we need clothes. He knows we need food. He knows we need water. And those things are here and now. So what is this all things all about? It's confusing. And I'm glad the Lord helped me understand it in under a week. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Where do you draw the line on assuming that the Lord's going to provide? This is hard. Now I've got your attention. Yeah. How do we know that? And we know, too, that there's been instances, and this is a whole nother ball field, where we've prayed for the needs of other people, and from our perspective, they weren't met. We don't know the end. Yeah. So what is this all things? What is this all things? I know, I would love, I'm really enjoying dragging you guys around for a minute. I see why Eric does this for a little bit. Like, let's do this. And you guys are a lot better than the youth group because they don't even give me, they're afraid of being wrong. Yeah, we have to show them funny videos and all that stuff. Terry.
Is he talking about sanctification?
No. Okay. No. And someone correct me if I'm wrong there, but no. And I'm going to get to, yes, Mark.
All your needs.
All your needs, yeah. But maybe you're late to the conversation because we were discussing that, like, there's these times where it seems like not all of our needs are met. So what is this all things? Well, this all things, and this is, let me read these. You know, we can expect to be persecuted. And Paul lays this out in Romans. In Romans, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger of the sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In 2 Timothy, Paul says this to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So you mean I get these all things, but yeah, I'm still going to go through these hard times? Because I interpret all things as a little different. I interpret all things as, man, this is going to be a cakewalk. Sweet. This is going to be great. Life is good, right? But that's not how all things is translating. Because I read you that Romans verse, and a couple of verses before it, Paul does the same thing. He says, he who did not spare his son but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with graciousness, what is that word? Give us all things. My word's all mixed up. Anyways, that all things is there again. It shows up again. Won't he give us all things? Well, here's what this all things is interpreting into. This all things is I will have everything needed to seek his kingdom first, his righteousness, which means I have everything needed to give glory to God. In every circumstance, I can give glory to God, and he is providing me whatever I need to give glory to God. For example, I'll just use this obvious example of me speaking to you guys. I'm up here. I believe that one of the ways the Lord has called me to give glory to his name is speaking the word to his people. So any opportunity, I'm yes, yes, yes. But I haven't done any formal education. Though I believe I've studied under some of the smartest people. I haven't been able to go to 4, 5, 6 years of school. But the Lord has provided me the knowledge, education, wisdom I need through his Spirit to glorify him even still. So even when I'm lacking, I have learned to abound in all things. I can give glory to God in all circumstances. I can seek his kingdom first in all circumstances because he continues to provide for me, and I can give glory to his name all of the time. Paul says, I've learned to abound with much. I've learned to abound with little. I've learned to give glory to God's name at all times. The Lord is going to provide everything you need to give glory to his name because it's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about seeking his kingdom, his righteousness first. The order of our goals matters. Him first. It's about him. It's not about me. And we know that Jesus equals more. Jesus means more. The Lord knows your needs. He knows also that you've committed to being a follower of Christ. You've committed to bringing glory to his name. He knows your needs, and he's going to call you to give glory to his name every single day, and he's going to give you whatever needed to ensure that happens. So when the Lord calls us to these radical forms of obedience, we can step forward with radical obedience, trusting that he's going to provide. I can give glory to my God in the workplace because he's going to provide. I can give glory to God in my family. He's going to provide. If the Lord steps out, tells me to step out and generously give of my time or my another resource and give glory to him in that way, I can because I know he's going to provide all things for his kingdom. Now do we see how it meshes? Like when I even now I feel like I barely understand this. So like I barely get it because it just seems so world shifting. But as I was studying this and it was coming together, I was like an audible, wow. That makes so much sense. Like It clicks. Don't you love it when things click? They just click. See, an abundance mindset is needed to seek God first. Because you have to see God as he truly is. A generous, loving provider who loves you and will provide everything you need. See, a scarcity mindset forces you to seek your needs and put God on the back burner. It says, well, I need food. I got bills to pay. I got people to clothe. An abundance mindset sets you free to a life glorifying God, seeking first his kingdom, and putting your needs list in his hand. Yeah. It frees you to trust him. Shora is saying, this is why Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, because it's impossible. It's impossible to seek God's kingdom first, giving glory to him in a scarcity mindset, without a complete reliance on him. It's impossible. It can't be done. If seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness isn't at the top of our list, then your list looks like the rest of the world. What's that?
Amen.
Good point. Amen. Not only does this set us apart as his, this we seek his kingdom first, this sets us apart as his people. It frees you from anxiety so you may have peace, but also secures all things for you. So I can seek his kingdom, follow after him, do the things he's called me to do. Because he's going to obviously provide for all of those tasks before me. I mentioned time is a big thing for me. The past couple months, the Lord's really been working on this issue of time that's been in my head. Never feeling like I have enough time for anything. Enough time for work, enough time for family, enough time for rest. Don't have enough time for anything. The Lord says, you're thinking about it all wrong. You're up there preaching about it, and you're still thinking about it all wrong. Seek me first, and even I will give you time. You'll have it. You'll have exactly what you need to glorify me. And time's like the one thing none of us can control. They say time is the great equalizer or something like that. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, you can't get more of it. Can't buy more of it. Jesus equals more. The equation doesn't work any other way. Even we as believers get it mixed up sometimes, but we have been called to freedom for freedom's sake. See, this all things doesn't come from hard work. It doesn't come from achievement or personal success on our part or professional success on our part. It doesn't come from any of that, but from God alone in order to glorify his name. This all things there is for his glory. This Jesus equals more, that more is for his glory. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let God concern himself with your needs, giving you all things in order that his name may be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Sometimes we have to step back and say thank you for being who you are. Thank you for concerning yourself with me and my life and my needs. Lord, I ask that you show us how to put your kingdom first on the top of our priority list. Lord, continue to provide all things that your name may be glorified. In every circumstance, we thank you, Father. This morning we continue to worship you. We seek your kingdom first. In Jesus' name, amen.